Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us. Thank you for your support. It's just so appreciated what you do to support all of us, KPCC, bringing these important stories to you. And ones of interest, too, like what we're going to talk about right now. We know there are so many older films and even TV programs that have the sensibility that comes from bygone eras and that are seen very differently in light of our understanding of the world today. So the question is, for these streaming services like HBO Max, which has, you know, huge numbers of old Warner Brothers films, for example, or Disney Plus, which has some of its earlier content, which might be of concern to people. How do they deal with this? Turner Classic Movies, for example, has taken an interesting approach in trying to contextualize some of the movies that they show that might have blackface or other depictions or references that are deemed offensive today. Joining me to talk about the different ways that these organizations approach it is Hollywood reporter Rebecca Keegan. She recently wrote about the piece, Racist, Sexist, Classic, How Hollywood is Dealing with Its Problematic Content. Rebecca, very good to have you with us again on Air Talk.
Hi, happy to be here.
So this obviously is magnified with all these different streaming services with huge archival content. And is this kind of ad hoc how they're making the decision on how to handle this stuff?
Well, I would say the studios are figuring this out a bit on the fly as they're trying to populate these new streaming services with the most valuable assets they have, which are their libraries. Some of them, including the two you mentioned, Disney and Warner Brothers, have started to take a pretty serious approach to it. They've created these kinds of committees of advisors who are looking at their content and making suggestions about how best to frame it.
I mean, this issue goes back a long time. I think of, you know, when Disney withdrew Song of the South, which I'm not sure you can see that anywhere at this point because of its characterization. And is that sort of historically what happened to a lot of this stuff? It was just withdrawn because of the offensive causes.
Song of the South is kind of an unusual example. Disney hasn't shown it in a theater since 1986. They didn't put it on Disney Plus. This is, of course, a 1946, the hybrid live action animation movie about sort of the Reconstruction era South that is considered wildly offensive by people who've seen it, although a lot of people haven't seen it because Disney has kept it out of circulation for decades now. Most of the movies have not had that kind of treatment. They have continued to air on TV, and people may just kind of stumble upon them, not realizing, oh, you know, I didn't know Fred Astaire is in blackface in Swing Time. I guess I'd never seen it, or I guess it blew by me the last time I saw it. So they've been there and kind of without context. And I think what studios are realizing is that for modern audiences, these images can be really jarring, and they're finding it is worthwhile to give people some kind of warning about what they're about to see.
Well, and Swing Time is a great example, a terrific film. But as you say, when that scene comes on, it's very jarring. And it's not like you can stop the movie right there and, okay, you know, put this in the context of the times. You can do it at the beginning or the end, but there are always going to be people coming and going during the showing of that film. And I don't know, Rebecca, how you get away from that jarring effect.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's interesting is so many people are watching these are watching films on streaming services now. And what some of the streaming services have begun to do is to put a warning label at the top of the film when you start it. So yes, as you say, if you stumble upon it, you know, on TCM on a Friday night, you see what you see, and maybe you hang out for the end when the host gives you some context, and maybe you don't. But if you're watching it on a streaming service, as increasingly audiences are, you would, you know, if you're watching something on Disney Plus, say one of their older movies that has some potentially offensive content, or the show that they recently added to their service, The Muppets, which what seems more benign and sweet than The Muppets, but there are 19 episodes of The Muppets that Disney put a label warning on. You know, there's one where Johnny Cash is singing with Miss Piggy and they're standing in front of a Confederate flag, you know, an episode from the 70s. So there is a label on that show now, so that if you were to start it up, let's say you're watching it with your kids, you would be alerted, oh, you're going to see something here that may be offensive to you.
Well, yeah, and even the TV show was The Dukes of Hazzard. The car had a Confederate flag on it. I mean, things that, you know, in just a few decades have changed dramatically in public perception. I'd like to hear from you as an AirTalk listener what you think the best way to handle it is. And I know that, you know, it's going to be different case to case, and there are degrees of what people find offensive. But in a general sense, what do you think that the streaming services or cable channels should do? Should films be withdrawn, as Disney did with Song of the South? Is it sufficient to do contextualizing at the beginning or the end? Should there be some sort of warning attached to it? Or do you think just let it fly and people do their own research on what they see in the films? 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Fred in Woodland Hills, what do you think?
Fred, I think that's me. I think that the whole terminology, Larry, of contextualizing is sort of ominous, because I would suggest that unless you're talking about sort of the low-hanging fruit of an isolated scene in an isolated film, what we're ultimately talking about is that films prior to a certain period of time always are going to start looking different, right? They're going to be objectionable from a contemporary perspective. So you can't just take Mickey Rooney out of Breakfast at Tiffany's, because otherwise it's basically a movie about the prostitute and people that drink a lot and don't seem to work, et cetera, right? So there are very sexist messages in films, potentially there are racist messages. If these networks want to continue to profit from films, I don't think they should wag their finger at the audience. Because at some point, as I say, any 20th century film is not going to look like our current sensibilities. And it just seems to me that it's a very condescending way to slide the films in. Again, if you want to watch the film, or they want to present them, so be it. But I think they want to have it both ways.
Well, I think they're trying to thread that needle with their audience, an audience that wants to watch Breakfast at Tiffany's, and people who are offended by Mickey Rooney's portrayal in that film of an Asian American character. So, and there are a lot of those characters of Asian Americans done in caricature and by white performers. So, what, Fred? What would you do if you owned Warner Brothers and you had Turner Classic Movies? Would you show those? Would you show Breakfast at Tiffany's or not?
I think I would. You know, that of course is the challenge, right, going forward. But I think that to your point, Larry, that is a film where, as I mentioned, you're isolating one character who is obviously now so extreme and so offensive. But there are many other potentially offensive elements in that film, if one is inclined to look at it in that way, including the fact that, as with all other films predominantly of that era, the cast is all white, the writers are all white, the directors are all white. Like, at what point do we, I think the important thing is that if we consider it a classic film or an important film, then we leave it to an audience to evaluate it.
Okay. I appreciate it, Fred. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Gabriel in Lincoln Heights, good to have you with us. What do you think these services should do?
Yes, sir. I believe that they should show the films. I think if you added additional context and commentary before and after, I think that's reasonable and necessary. But I don't think we should sweep it under a rug or shelve these films. I think especially for the younger generation, they need to see what kind of films were made in the past. They need to see that. You know, that's our history. We should lean into that and try to correct it moving forward.
Are you a classic film lover, Gabriel?
I would say so, yes, sir.
Yeah. So I understand you're African-American. So when you see these sorts of racist depictions, how does that strike you when you watch it?
Well, I'll be honest. Depending on what the film is, I may get angry, but I understand the context. And I understand that's where we came from. And it just shows me, well, we have made progress, and we will continue to make progress. But hiding it doesn't do anything for the conversation about race relations.
Gabriel, I really appreciate it. Thank you for joining us from Lincoln Heights. Let me go back to Rebecca Keegan, the Hollywood Reporter. Rebecca, we have just about a minute before we break, but you mentioned that there are independent panels looking at this. Are they still in the process of making their recommendations?
Yeah, they're sort of constantly combing through the content the studios have and making sense of them. And both for new content and for classic content, studios are kind of trying to get their hands around how cultural expectations are changing and how that should change the way they work.
We'll continue with Rebecca Keegan. Also joining us will be the president of the African American Film Critics Association. He's a member of Disney's advisory council. We're just talking about Gil Robertson. Will be with us along with Rebecca Keegan very shortly, and we'll take your calls. I'd like to hear from you. If you ran your own streaming service and you had a big classic film archive with a number of titles that have scenes or themes, or the whole film itself is based on some sort of a deeply offensive concept, would you show it? Would you do programming before and after to contextualize it? Or would you withdraw it from being shown? 866-893-KPCC. This is Air Talk. It's always a risk when I thank our Air Talk team that I'll omit someone. Julia, I want to put the spotlight right on you. Thank you so much, Julia. Terrific producer for us on Air Talk here on KPECC. How could I forget Julia? So we give you extra attention because of my neglect. So good to have you with us on Air Talk. Our focus right now are on historic films that are in the archives of these streaming services like Disney Plus, like HBO Max. Turner Classic Movies has been dealing with this on their cable channel for some time. How to deal with content in historic films that is deeply offensive to today's audiences. But it can be in a great film. We're just talking, Rebecca Keegan of Hollywood Reporter used the excellent example of blackface with Fred Astaire in Swing Time, a terrific musical, but with a scene that is going to be shocking to today's audiences who are not familiar with that film or have not seen blackface in a movie before. So what do they do? We're going to take more listener calls, but I'm joined now by the president of the African American Film Critics Association. He's part of Disney's advisory council, Gil Robertson. Gil, good to have you with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So can you just pull back the curtain a little bit and share with us sort of how these conversations, the back and forth that goes on with the advising of, you know, to Disney, what are the things you're considering and what are some of the areas which the advisory panel might not necessarily agree with each other?
I don't really know if there's been an instance where we have disagreed. People are, Disney is aiming to achieve, cultural competency with their use of their advisory messaging and the way that they curate their content. So, I mean, just the best way to describe it or to understand it is just to sort of, as you said earlier, correct some of the imaging and messaging that had been that were part of their earlier films, and you know, the negative depictions or mistreatment, you know, of people, our various cultures. So it's just simply a label to let the viewer know, or the audience know, that some of the content might be from more representative of an earlier era, I mean, and not, you know, consistent with today's values.
And what about pointing viewers to resources where they could learn more about the racial, or it may not even just be racial, but other issues where there's offensive content, so that people can kind of go back and familiarize themselves with the era from which the film comes? Do you think that there is an opportunity here for the streamers to do that?
Well, Disney certainly already is. They have a full setup where additional information can be found so that the viewer can gain a greater understanding about the work that they're about to watch.
All right. And for you, as an African-American film critic, when you watch some of these films, let's take one of the most egregious, Birth of a Nation, in which the Ku Klux Klan is portrayed as a heroic entity. When you watch a film like that, are you sort of looking at it from a critical standpoint? What do you see as someone well-versed in the history of film when you watch a film like that?
Well, you look at it from both. You look at it, professionally, you know, view it as a critic. But then, you know, as a member of the audience, I would also, you know, view it for, its entertainment value. You know, so when you're talking to, you know, an African-American or a racial or a minority or a person from a disenfranchised community, there's a certain amount of, you just, not to say that you get used to it, but it's certainly not a surprise when you come across this type of, you know, imagery, which is why what Disney is doing with their advisory is so important, because at least you know ahead of time what to expect. And with the additional materials that they're offering, it also provides you with the context in which, you know, the film was originally made.
Let's talk with listener Rasheem in Pasadena. Rasheem, what do you think? How should these films be shown, if they should be shown?
Hi, Larry. Well, I think that what the streaming services are doing now by putting up a content warning is kind of the best way to go, because, their other option could be to just not show it if they have the license for that type of thing. They could just vault it and no one would know about it. And so, like, if I was a streaming service and I, like, owned the Birth of a Nation, I would keep that. I wouldn't stream that one at all. I would only allow it in the context, you know, to be shown in a college history course or something, so that the racist propaganda could be discussed, you know, in the correct way. But
I certainly understand that, but there could be an argument made that, as abhorrent as the themes and depictions are in Birth of a Nation, that there's very important things for film lovers there to understand that were breakthroughs in filmmaking. And they're not all going to go to a film studies class to be able to see it. So is there a way that you think it could be accessible for people who want to look at that film for the landmark it was, even knowing that there's this deeply offensive thematic content?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean, the film companies or the distribution companies like Disney, they own the rights. And so, I mean, an argument could be made in either case, but, you know, the fact that they own it, it's up to their discretion. If they choose to just put up a warning context, and, you know, they're going to be the ones who have to deal with the response from their customers. And so, you know, they may believe that there are, they have enough customers who would appreciate Birth of a Nation for its, you know, its groundbreaking, you know, film cinematics. And, but they'll also have customers who don't. And so they allow it to be streamed. They're going to be the ones who, you know, get the brunt of the responses. And,
Rasheem, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Shanna in West Covina, you wanted to go back and talk about Breakfast at Tiffany's. Go right ahead.
Yeah, so that in general, or in or even the Native American scene in Peter Pan, I sort of think that when you go into like watching a film, not just the disclaimer at the beginning, it says it has content that some viewers may find offensive. I know that's sort of the general line, but I think to actually call it out where it is in the film, because to say, so you're on the lookout for it while you're actually watching the film, and then you can decide for yourself, hey, if you want to research why it's offensive, or even if I think about myself as a child watching Peter Pan, and let's say I had Disney Plus when I was a kid and I'm scrolling through to see what to watch and I was reading it, and then it says this may have content that is offensive towards the Native American community. As a child, I think, Mom, what does that mean? And then I might a chance to open up some conversation, and at least I know that's what I'm looking for. Because as a kid, I know, when I was a child, I didn't find offensive because I didn't know that, you know, and that's a movie aimed for kids. But conversation with parents if they want to, or I know don't, but that's sort of what I was thinking, is to really call it out, and then that could leave it up to the viewer to do their own research, or for just to ask questions, or just become a more aware viewer when they're watching any other.
Shannon, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Let me go back to Gil Robertson, president of the African American Film Critics Association. Gil, we're almost out of time, but would it ever make sense, do you think, to have like a sidebar of the screen when an offensive scene comes on to provide sort of context in the moment? Or is that disrespectful to a film, even if it's being disrespectful to certain communities?
Yeah, that might be a little disruptive. I mean, with Disney, you know, again, they provide a website, disney.com/storiesmatters, where people can, you know, understand why a film is receiving an advisory, understand the reasons why they've gotten the advisory. So I think as long as you have that type of opportunity to understand the history and the context for which these images were created, then that provides you with, that arms you with information to make the right choice.
Thank you so much, Gil. I appreciate it. Rebecca Keegan of The Hollywood Reporter, thank you for joining us as well.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.